Welcome to the Bitcoin Nova. Today, I'm here with Paula. I'm so excited to talk to her because she started my journey into overcoming my fear and having my own podcast. We'll get to know Paula more today. I'm so excited. Thank you for joining me.
I'm really excited to be here. You're doing great.
Thank you. There's so many people in the Bitcoin world who have so much to say. So I really thank you for reaching out and actually talking to all different accounts. You've talked to so many people that we all know that are influential people in the space. And then you talk to just everyday Bitcoiners, which is inspiring because you realize how many people have so much to say and so many perspectives. So it's really nice to hear from all kinds of people. So thank you for being the person you are and for seeing us and for being part of our communities too. I want to find out about your background and everything and how you got into Bitcoin. But I also want to know about how you started your podcast journey and how you came across our group and all that.
Yeah. You know, I started the podcast about probably 2 years after I thought about it, at least 1 year after I thought about it, for the same reason you probably didn't start. It was because I didn't think I knew enough about Bitcoin. I didn't think that I had enough to say, but I did know that I could get people on my podcast to talk about some of the subjects that I'm not so good at. And the one thing that I knew that I would be able to do is ask questions and get people to talk about it. So, yeah, I started about 8 months ago because I wasn't that happy in my job. And I realized that time is our most valuable resource. A friend of mine had just passed away from a car accident. And I thought, yeah, I'm spending my time doing something I don't love. And what have I learned from Bitcoin? I've learned that time is our most valuable resource. I should have known that before. I did know that, but I wasn't living it. Because if time is really your most valuable resource, well, then you've got to live by those words. And it certainly is a journey. So I started the podcast. I started with my friends and people I knew just to see how it would go. I thought, you know, as a woman in the space, there aren't a lot. That's the reason I really encouraged you too. And I see how quickly some of the young guys take off. And my journey has been so slow compared to many of them. But I've also learned not to compare myself. I have a voice that appeals to some people. And you will have a voice that appeals to other people. And we need to get the word out about Bitcoin. So I encourage everybody who really wants to go this way to just move ahead.
That's really great to hear. Yeah, I think that it's important because we don't want to do it because we care about ourselves. We care about the mission of trying to teach people about it because there's so much lack in education when it comes to regular people that just have no idea what this is or this movement that's happening. So you're right. If there's different people out there that can reach certain audiences, everybody clicks with someone different, you know, like you that orange pill moment will happen for different reasons for everybody. It's nice to hear all these different perspectives and kind of shape your thoughts about it. Once you realize like what happened to you is terrible, and I'm sorry about your loss of your friend, but it takes something like that for you to actually get over your fear. And when this tragic event happened in your life, you feel like that is such a painful thing that it almost hardens you more. So you kind of feel like you don't have the same fear that you used to have, especially knowing that your time is limited and, you know, you should do what you want. Doing these podcasts, especially about Bitcoin, and it's so transformative and you're putting yourself into the internet for all time, you know, so people can look back at these videos and see them and see these early pioneers as like a part of history out there on the internet, you know, exploring this world and teaching people. So it's really powerful and valuable. How did you find our community?
Well, once I started these videos, I started getting into X, and it's the best place to go to meet Bitcoiners. Noster is a great place, but it's a little different and it's not quite the same interaction. And I just happened to stumble across your community. I'm not sure how it actually worked, but I saw how positive you all were. And I saw how a community of people focused on Bitcoin can be really a positive force. And I also see, you know, I'm an introvert. I'm not shy, but I'm an introvert. And I'm the kind of person, if I can do it by myself, I will. Yeah. But I think in this world, we need a community to bring this message forward. I cannot just do this by myself. And although I haven't started a community myself, I am part of your community. I'm part of other communities. I've met some wonderful people there and had some wonderful interviews with people from your community and other communities. So I think it was just the next step for me to get myself more involved in the actual community, since I don't do many meetups because I'm always editing videos.
Yes. Well, I feel like the same as you, and it might be very similar with a lot of people who discover Bitcoin. I feel like we're those outside the box thinkers that kind of are thoughtful and deep. Like, I don't have very many real life friends because I feel like people don't think a lot like I do. So I like to have these deep thoughts. I do like to think about how the world works. And I feel like a lot of people don't have the same interest in Bitcoin because that's where it ultimately leads to when you have these questions. And I do find myself to be more of an introvert, but I do love speaking to people. And I am a hairstylist. I own a small business with my mom, and we, you know, speak to people all day. And I feel like that kind of helped me break out of my shell of being socially kind of quiet, you know, because I do have to speak to my clients. And then it made me realize, which is, I think, a stepping stone for the podcast, is there's so many people that I think are not even in the mood to talk, and like they won't have much to say during our appointment. But as I start speaking to people, I find out the most interesting things about them, and we ended up having the best conversations. And they do love their hair when they leave, but they also they look forward to coming back because we become like friends. You know, they actually want to hear. We like to just discuss whatever it is, you know, about their life. Like, I become a bit of a therapist for people, and that kind of led me to, okay, even though I don't, after work, I don't just go out and try to make plans with friends and meet up with people that much. I'm glad my husband is that way because he has his group of friends and they're my friends. And, you know, if it wasn't for him, I'd be a lot more introverted. By inviting me on, by joining our community, you created this ripple effect. That's what our network is. It's like everything's connected. You said there are people out there who don't resonate with the tech and the finance talk so much, and they do want to hear from a regular person to explain it to them in a regular way.
Just have to say that I wasn't the original Pebble.
What
you know? No, you know, I interviewed Jeff Booth, and he said yes to me when I had very few followers, just like I think he's done for you.
Yes.
And he said to me, "You never know who you're going to touch." And I thought, yeah, I'm still, you know, maybe with his podcast, I might touch a lot, but I didn't think that I could more than that. And then I went on Robin Sears' show, and he said the same thing to me: start a podcast. You have your own voice, and we need to reach more Bitcoiners. So that's the amazing community of Bitcoiners that we have. They Yes. are all encouraging. Not all, but Yeah. there are a lot of wonderful Bitcoiners that are trying to encourage us, because in order for Bitcoin to succeed, we need to show this truth to the world. And yes, we cannot force them. So what we're doing is just having podcasts where people are welcome to join if they want, and to hear many different backgrounds and many different people talk about their experience. And that's what I love about this. Different people will be attracted because of the different people we interview.
Yeah, and I do agree with Robin Sayer. He is doing great things because he wants to do, I think he does two videos a day, but he wants to have a new Bitcoiner every single day, at least, you know, probably twice a day for every single day of the year. So he is really getting out there, really gaining perspective, really learning a lot from different people in the world. this community is different from other people. Like Bitcoin wins when everybody wins. We are built different. You know, we are not not your typical group of people. And as far as Jeff Booth, oh my goodness. I mean, how did you feel?
Well, I was on somebody's show yesterday and I wasn't going to share this, but when I saw him, I was so emotional, I started crying.
Did
and
you?
I am not a crier. I am like brought up the British way. You don't cry. So, but I couldn't help it. And I had to say, I'm sorry, Jeff. And I had to go dry my eyes and come back. After that, I was good. Everybody, okay. I've been much better. But that first like realization of, wow, I'm actually talking to Jeff Booth, because he's had such a profound influence on my journey, because he talks about Bitcoin like nobody else.
Yes, yes.
Quite hard to understand him sometimes, mm-hmm. but when you watch him enough times, you can get it.
I've listened to so many of his podcasts and he is a legend to me. I've had his book for the longest time. I'm trying not to like freak out. These people are superstars to us. There are celebrities, you know, and I feel like even just hearing you say that is so special, because to see that you had to go take a break and dry your eyes and come back, and he's so, you know, kind in that way, to see that he was, you know, so good and patient and knew that this was a big deal to you. I was afraid of how I'm going to act. You know, will I be over emotional? Will I be able to be myself? I just have to think about them like they're just coming into my salon getting a haircut. That's what I'm thinking. I'm like, everyone's a human and everyone needs a haircut. So I'm just going to pretend they're a client. And that's my, my process right there. But I do have a feeling that it might just hit me like a ton of bricks, you know, when I speak to one of these people. So it's nice to hear that I'm not alone feeling that, like, you're not just good. You're not just like ready. You know, it's like, you never know how you're going to react. And it's okay. You know, so thank you for sharing that.
And you can always edit.
Yes, that's true.
I think the biggest thing is being prepared. And that is why it's not easy. It takes a lot of time to research and to learn what James Lavish, for example, knows, because he's in on the deep side of macro. And yeah, and then coming from a Jeff Booth standpoint is another side, because Jeff Booth is one of the only people who says that fiat and Bitcoin will not exist in the same, right, in the same, you know, world one day. Yes. And that anything that we invest in the fiat world, for example, Tesla having stock, is supporting the fiat world. Mm-hmm. And so I do listen to that. I'm not 100% on the Bitcoin standard myself yet, but it is my goal, because I know when Jeff Booth speaks, I hear truth. Mm-hmm. And the reason that they are so nice, I think, is because they follow the Bitcoin principles. Mm-hmm. And Bitcoin says, stay humble, stack sats. Right. It doesn't say get all big headed and trade Bitcoin and think you're better than everybody else. No, it says stay humble and stack sats. And because of, we all know that we are connected, there is a spiritual component to Bitcoin. So I don't want to be treating other people how I would not want to be treated. So I think Bitcoiners know that. And there's something good about the Bitcoin community. And as you go down the rabbit hole with integrity and also with an open mind, you become a better person, not a worse one.
You know, Jeff Booth, they do have this humble approach. You know, I feel like that's why his company is called Ego Death Capital. And you can't have an ego when you're into Bitcoin. It's just, it teaches you to drop that ego to understand it. And the spiritual side of Bitcoin is humongous for me, because that's why you never stop learning. It's not just about what Bitcoin is. It's about how it's connected, what it's based off of, its principles, based off of, you know, physics, laws of the universe. And it just, you know, you just start to think about all these different tangents that Bitcoin touches. It does help you have this sort of awakening. That's why it feels spiritual. And because we feel like we're all connected, we are all in this network that is protecting itself from, you know, attacks. We feel that way, defensive about others in our community. And we do feel like we do it with an open heart and to teach others about it. So that's why we want to spread awareness, because we realize how great this world of people is. And the rest of the world walks around feeling sad, like a dark cloud hanging over them. And even though we're living in the same world right now, we can see that we've taken a step out of that, and we have the sunshine over us. And we're like, you know, we want you to be there too, to live with worry instead of with hope. You know, we don't want to see people we care about live that way. You know, the spiritual side of it is really, you know, so much you can dive into. But I love that you held a space about that recently.
I'd like to keep that going. You know, and yesterday I spoke to somebody from the community. He wasn't on the space. And he said that Bitcoin gave him the courage to speak out. Before that, he was very much an introvert, but Bitcoin gave him the courage to speak out because he wanted to bring this message to others. Mm-hmm. And then I also spoke to somebody, the podcast I released today was with Mark van der Versendal, and he's a Dutch guy, and he has his own podcast in Dutch, and he sold his home, everything he owned, with his wife and kids, and travels the world on the Bitcoin standard. And he talks about, he starts about the spiritual side of it and how he had a spiritual awakening, but that he says too, it's not easy. And I don't think the Bitcoin journey is always easy, because we do have to deal with the volatility. Even if we don't focus too much on price, we have to deal with family members saying, what are you doing? Maybe not everybody, but some people don't understand. And yeah, there are some lessons in the Bitcoin space too. Having patience, that's one thing that Bitcoin has taught me too, to have patience. Because yeah, it would be nice to be completely on the Bitcoin standard, but not everybody is at that point financially. And I'm not there either.
That's what it is about, why it's spiritual, because it is hard to come to this conclusion. You have these material things in your life that you realize when you discover Bitcoin, you know, things that you thought you cared about before, you know, filling some kind of void. But when you realize that what makes you feel happy isn't material things, it's having hope for your future and knowing that it's going to get better, and you're not going to work till you're 75 years old if you just save in Bitcoin, spending time with people you love, and seeing the world, doing things you enjoy, but it's not about stuff.
We think about whether we're going to buy a new car or buy Bitcoin, but I also have to live for today. So I do travel. I just have to find the balance, but I no longer spend on things that are just frivolous and just to buy and have things, you know, because being a realtor, I have seen how much people have that they don't even look at. And that was my first realization, and including my own family and my own self, that I have too much that I'm just keeping there for one day. And what's the point? I think for me, Bitcoin has also led me to being a little bit more of a minimalist.
When you're creating more time for yourself, you're creating more space for yourself. So Bitcoin is time. And every time I see that word time, I think about the word Bitcoin, but it's also space. And I wonder how many of us have that minimalist idea.
Yeah, I often think, what type of people are attracted to Bitcoin in the beginning? You know, a lot of us, it doesn't feel like we're early, but in the big adoption phase, we are early. We're 16 years in, but there's less than 10%, maybe even less than 5% of the world who are really understand Bitcoin. And yeah, I just think about what type of people. I know there are personality types that people have told me about that are attracted to Bitcoin, but I think it's also people who are open-minded, curious. And of course, people who see the problem with the fiat system.
That's why I like to find out from guests what interests they had prior to Bitcoin? Did you wonder about the world around you? Did you wonder about space? Did you wonder about getting answers spiritually? Are you curious about finding answers? I think I spoke about this with Jeeves, actually. You have these questions, you have this hunger for truth. And I think that the more questions you ask about the world around you, you always have more questions. Like, you really don't get to like this finite answer. Even if you get to the Big Bang, you know, how the universe like came into existence, what was before that? Nobody knows. Nobody knows what's in a black hole. Like, the more that's discovered, the more you wonder about what's the next thing that I'm going to ask now, because you can't find the root. The more they find out about the universe, the more it points to the presence of God. And then when you discover Bitcoin, you discover you have these curiosities about money and why life is so hard. When you start to dive deep into what money really is, if anyone asks that question and you really start to understand what money is, you realize that your time is being stolen from you. With inflation. And when you find Bitcoin, you feel like you finally found an answer to a truth that you've always been searching for truths out there. And this is one truth that you finally get to, that you're like, this is an answer to this problem or to this question. You know, why am I working so hard every day? Why are things getting more difficult? It's engineered that way. It's not right. It's like the system that we're currently in causes a major wealth gap. Like, this finite, you know, truth of like, yes, now I got an answer. It's very empowering. I don't know if you saw this, but I was actually watching the documentary on HBO. I think it's called Money Electric. We had a friend that told us about it. He was saying it was really good. So my husband brought it up last night. He's like, we should watch this. But it was amazing. And it talked about Satoshi and what he went through and what was going on during the times of his emails and when he disappeared. Watching this documentary, I noticed that Samson Mao was talking. And Samson Mao is the advisor to President Bukele of El Salvador. I spoke recently with Bevin Waite. I tried to reach out to Samson Mao to see if he would be on my show just for the hell of it. So he was nice enough to respond to me and say, no, I'm pretty busy right now, but you could email me here and see, you know, if somebody from my team is available. So Bevin Waite responded and he said, if you'd like, I could be on your show. So I had a conversation with him and I didn't know much about him. I tried researching and I found out that he was a filmmaker and now he's the director of marketing for Gen 3 for Samson Mao's company. You never know who you're going to have on your show. It's just pretty amazing. And then when I was watching the documentary yesterday, I realized that not only is Samson Mao Bevin's boss, you know, he works for his company. I didn't realize that Adam Back is Samson's boss. So that I realized that from the documentary. So Adam Back is a legend. He created Hashcash. He was a puzzle piece in the creation of Bitcoin. So Satoshi used parts of Hashcash or all of, I don't know what he used, but he used parts of Adam Back's cryptography to create Bitcoin. And so Adam Back was in the original emails with Satoshi. He's the creator, the CEO or whatever of Blockstream. So the Bitcoin blockchain is broadcast to space through Blockstream. So the connection there just blew my mind last night. So I spoke with Bevin Waite, whose boss is Samson Mao, whose boss is Adam Back. So I'm like three steps away from like someone who talked to Satoshi directly. That's how early we are. That's how we're able to talk to these legends, you know, that do these amazing things, that work for these amazing companies that have direct connection with Satoshi. So it was just crazy to me.
Those are two great documentaries to watch.
I feel like I could talk about Satoshi all day long. He was such a visionary that was able to not only see the problem, but understand that he had to stay anonymous.
And I was just thinking about Satoshi. I haven't looked into him as much as you, but the one biggest gift that he gave the world and then walked away, that is one of the biggest ego-less acts that anyone has done, because imagine what people would think of him if he came out and said, I created it and proved it. Mm-hmm. That takes a huge amount of no ego to be able to let all that credit go, and plus all of the coins in his wallet, over a million, that he has not touched. So It starts at the top, right? Even though we have no leader in Bitcoin, it's because he planned it that, or whoever planned it that way, but it started right with him.
Yes, that's what I think a lot of the root of the spiritual part of it comes from. Because when you learn about Satoshi, you think this person had an inhuman level of conviction, you know, to be able to walk away and have his ego like completely not part of it. It was just very inhuman. It's like anybody else would have wanted to, you know, take credit. He's just a very big role model for people to see that this person did this. He gave us this gift and he just disappeared. And it doesn't feel real, you know, but it did happen and it is real.
And you talk about 6 degrees of separation. A trainer in my gym trains Nayib Bukele in Miami when he visits. And I've known this guy forever. And he just started talking about Nayib Bukele there. I'm like, why are you talking about Nayib Bukele? Oh, because I train him. I said, really? I said, do you own Bitcoin? Yeah, some. Wasn't into the Bitcoin, but yeah. So I would love to go and meet him, but I unfortunately tag along to a training session with his secret service. I don't think it's possible, but it just shows how you just don't know. Bitcoiners right. are everywhere. They're regular people. Mm-hmm. And we all want a better world.
That's so crazy that you go to the same place and your trainer. And that's funny that your trainer is connected to this person and just thinks, yeah, I have some, but it's not that big a deal. But yeah, it's like, look at that. Like you go to the same place that he goes to. He's got Samson advising him. And Samson is direct contact with Adam Back. I didn't know that that was his boss. That's just unreal.
Obviously, Nayib Bukele doesn't work out in that gym because he works out in wherever he stays in Miami because he's too guarded. But mm-hmm. yeah, it's just incredible.
So you're in Miami right now?
Yep. So I live in Miami. I've been here since college. Mm-hmm. I came here to play tennis on a tennis scholarship and I ended up staying. But I spend a lot of time in Zimbabwe and Africa where my family live. Mm-hmm. And so I see both parts of the world. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I see what goes on in Africa with the mm-hmm. even worse inflation, even worse money. And people still don't really see the problem. They just mm-hmm. keep trying to move forward with that same bad system. And mm-hmm. then I come here and I see obviously a little bit better currency and mm-hmm. better system, but still for people living in the US, mm-hmm. making a general wage, like you said, it's like a treadmill because working from young to when you're in your 70s just to try to then enjoy your retirement mm-hmm. is crazy. And we go back to what you mentioned. I the reason I started looking for Bitcoin was because I didn't feel a sense of purpose in my life. Mm-hmm. So once I found, well, I didn't find purpose, but I started looking. I took courses with Bob Proctor, who's a Canadian, who's passed away now. But his first thing was, you got to find your purpose. Everybody has a purpose. And I can see now that we have different purposes at different stages of our lives. Mm-hmm. So then number two, once you find purpose, then it's important to take care of your financial side and your spiritual side. And I wasn't taking good care of my financial side. And so that brought me to looking into Bitcoin because it was beating all the other assets, you know, out of the water. When you look at anything priced in Bitcoin is going down in value over the last 15, 16 years. And it's our belief that that's going to continue because printing is going to continue. And the fiat system is a debt-based system. And
not only that you say purpose, it's not just, okay, you found Bitcoin and that gave you purpose, but also finding out with the tragedy that happened with your friend and realizing and also connecting the fact that Bitcoin is so important and you understand it and then realizing that, you know, your time is limited, just like how Bitcoin is limited. And you feel like your purpose is not just to understand it, but to spread the word. So it's like it gives you more purpose to do what you're doing now, to feel fulfilled, to not just be working, doing a job you don't love, to actually do something you're passionate about, which is, you know, trying to share the word, trying to touch people that you didn't realize you would be able to touch. And it gives you this great feeling and you feel just happy to learn about others and share it. That's how I feel. That's how I feel about doing what I'm doing right now. until you reached out to me, I felt like it was not even something I even dreamt that I would ever do. I feel like I'm living in a split reality. Since I feel like the community creation happened, that was like a split in my reality. Then when you found me, I feel like I had another split. Like it was like my trajectory would have been, plus if I never found Bitcoin, I feel like I would have stayed on the same path. But every time something like this happens, it creates this new road, you know, that you never even saw was there. I'm grateful. I'm very grateful for the support. I'm grateful for you for finding people, like for looking out and looking for people, for somebody who didn't feel like you were very much of a social person. You felt a little bit of an introvert, and then you go and find people and actually get out there and speak to them. You know, I'm so amazed by you. I feel like you are just such an inspiration, and even to have reached out for Jeff Booth when you did.
Do you think this has become more of your purpose than?
Yeah, I really do. I feel like I love my job because, you know, even if I ever could do this full time, which would be my dream, I love my job. So I feel like I would just maybe cut down and do it just part time because I do love making people feel good. You see their energy shift. You know, when you make them feel like it's not a vanity thing. You actually just feel like, oh, wow, I was taken care of. Now I can go on and have a better day. Plus, we talk about so many good things. Plus, I can orange pill regular people. So I feel like it's just like a good way to get to know people and talk to them. And it's like, it kind of makes me appreciate, I appreciate my job because I have flexibility in it. And I work with my mom. So, you know, I feel like working with my mom, it's like hard for me to give that side of my life up. I cannot believe how this turn, and I feel like, I do feel like this is something that I was meant to do. You know, I actually, especially seeing the support from people, it's not like going out there, like starting a YouTube page out of nowhere, which is I'm sure how probably most people do it, but just having this community backing when I began the page is just, it makes me feel like I have support. And it gives me more energy to keep going. So I feel like it's harder when you don't have that backing of people that have the interest that you have when you start a podcast or a YouTube channel. But you have to be even more convicted to keep going when you don't have people that even know about your channel yet. So I'm just grateful that I have, you know, people to start off with that are actually giving me, you know, like they're giving me good criticism, good, you know, praise. And I just feel like it makes me feel like, wow, I am doing the right thing. You know, I feel like it encourages me to keep going and keep working hard because I enjoy the work. It's very fun. It doesn't feel like work at all. You know, so I love the editing. I love speaking with everybody. But it gives you this purpose to feel like you're doing something to share with people who don't understand. And I love to be able to do that.
You're right. It's that ripple effect, right? Mm-hmm. And you having the community behind you definitely helps starting a channel. I can see that. Mm-hmm. I didn't have the community, so it's been a long, slow journey, but I'm starting to build. And yeah, there's a different community on YouTube too. Mm-hmm. And then there's the X community. And, you know, I think you were also really good at videos already. You were making videos for X, and you obviously are good at that, and you're good at thumbnails. I can see that, and that helps. I'm still learning that stuff. Mm-hmm. And you can pay people to do that, but as you know, when you first start this, it takes time mm-hmm. to make any money.
Well, that's the thing. Sometimes you don't know that the things you do in your life, they lead to other things, because for me, I was starting off editing just for fun. During COVID, me and my husband were not able to go out very much and stuff. We have kids at home. So our kids kind of got us into playing video games, you know? So we started playing these video games that we got really into. So me and my husband just really had a fun time together. We would, you know, just laugh and play, and we would just have a really great time. So sometimes, and I think my husband's hilarious. He cracks me up all the time, and he makes fun of me all the time in like a playful way. And I think it's just so, like, his jokes are just too much. So I like to clip little moments of our game, and I would just edit them just so I could save them as like a journal for myself. And I used to try to like have a TikTok channel for it, you know, but, you know, I feel like it's so hard in like the gaming world to get any sort of traction, but it was just fun for me. It was fun to post and share those moments. And I think that's where my practice came in for the editing, because then once I stopped like posting as many of those things, I got involved with the communities. I did see so many great accounts. So I thought, why don't I just make something and just highlight these accounts and it'll make them feel good about themselves. And it really did. People were just hyped up about it. And it was just really cool to be able to use it for something. And then I didn't even expect to go this far and use it for editing YouTube videos and actually putting out highlight clips of podcasts. You know, I just never expected it to go this route. You know, it was just kind of like one thing led to the other. So yeah, I am grateful for the experience I had for those couple years, you know, just having fun with it. And it's like a lot of the stuff in my life, I feel like I'm self-taught when it comes to, you know, the editing and the, you know, learning about Bitcoin and learning about finance. Like, I feel like all this stuff was just deep dives of my own. So, but yeah, it's just, it's cool. But yeah, if it's, once you get started, it's not that hard. It's like, you just have to use like the good apps, you know, like I like PixArt for creating thumbnails. You know, I just, you know, like to, cause you could remove backgrounds. You could take a photo of somebody, remove background, paste it in there, you know, it's like add some text, you know? So it's like, it's really cool. And with AI, I love AI because you can ask Grok or ChatGPT to create an image for you with whatever kind of image you want. It could say Bitcoin and, you know, cyberspace, I don't know, something. And then just take that photo and add some people to it. You know, like it's just, it can be, those parts can be done more easily. The editing is still a little bit of a learning curve, but not hard. I love CapCut. That's like what I use for all that stuff. It is different in this space. I don't think a lot of people are doing a lot of that, like, fun graphics and whatever I'm doing. So I feel like it might make people happy to just see some fun clips.
Yeah, that could be your thing.
Yeah. So I wanted to also just to know a little bit more about you personally. It's like you, I saw that you played tennis and you mentioned you played tennis. Do you still play it?
No, I don't play tennis. I told somebody on another podcast that I'm very competitive. Mm-hmm. And because I have a regular fiat job, I work in real estate, mm-hmm. and doing the video, as you know, takes a lot of time. So playing tennis poorly once a week wouldn't do it for me. I have learned in life that it is okay to do things even if I don't do them perfectly, mm-hmm. because clearly I started this channel with being clueless about editing and all that stuff, but I was still willing to do it because I just love Bitcoin so much. And right. That's kind of how I am. I was very focused on tennis for the first part of my life. Then I got into health and fitness. And although I still care a lot about health and fitness, I got tired of doing it as a profession. Mm-hmm. I then switched to real estate, which was never the love of my life, but mm-hmm. I felt I needed to make more money because I realized as I'm getting older, I wasn't earning enough or saving enough. And I was on that treadmill mm-hmm. looking maybe, yeah. And then I found Bitcoin. And that just tends to be me. I tend to get very obsessed with one thing.
Me too. My husband says that all the time about me. He's like, oh, what's your next obsession? I'm like, well, now I think I found it. I found my obsession that I'm sticking to. So
maybe that's Bitcoin is. Maybe we are obsessed kind of people. And then when we find something that has so many wonderful qualities that solves so many problems, mm-hmm. it's a good thing to be obsessed with. But yeah, I still need balance in my life.
Yeah, right. No, it's true. It's like, I feel like, but I think Bitcoin also teaches you, you become obsessed, you find Bitcoin, and then you find the balance. So I feel like, well, 'cause Bitcoin teaches you the patience, it teaches you not to be obsessed about like shopping and spending money and certain other things you used to be obsessed with. We find different things that we're obsessed with throughout our time here. And then you find Bitcoin, which actually gives you this answer to a question that now feels like you don't have to keep searching, because it literally feels like, even though we still want to learn about the world around us and we still have curiosities, like we feel like we just get to this point where we find the truth and we don't have to obsess over things that we thought were important before. So it's just kind of like that all roads lead to Bitcoin type of idea. So it's just cool to see what people were obsessed with prior to Bitcoin. And now that they have found Bitcoin, are you still obsessing over a million other things? Or is Bitcoin your new obsession? I think a lot of us, sometimes I wonder how many, I tried to do a poll one time to see how many Bitcoiners are like a little bit ADD, because I find myself to be ADD, but I think that's also can be an obsessive quality because you either are distracted a lot or you hyper-focus on something. And I feel like that's how I am about a lot of things. And I think a lot of people who have ADD are a little bit, have an more open mind, a more creative mind, you know, so you can see things that maybe people don't think about, you know. So I wondered how many people, even if they know they have it or not, like, do you see qualities of ADD in yourself that that maybe led you to Bitcoin? So maybe it's a gift, you know.
That's funny. I never thought I had ADD. One of my best friends, I always notice in him, like, mm-hmm. Yeah, he definitely has ADD, but when you see it in somebody else, maybe I have it too. And now that you say it, maybe I do. And I tend to go hyper-focused into Bitcoin. But mm-hmm. Yeah, now that you mention it, maybe I do. I want to do like 10 things at once.
Right.
And that's a bit ADD.
Isn't that funny? Because you see it, because you don't sometimes see it on yourself. You see it in other people. And you don't realize that you may have these qualities. You've never been diagnosed with it. It's never been an issue for you, like learning or in school or any kind of thing like that. I also appreciate the road that I took, and I appreciate where I am at now, because I think that because of the way of thinking, you end up finding Bitcoin, and you don't take that traditional route that maybe some people take, that looking at yourself, it's just an interesting kind of like looking in the mirror, sort of like, are you one of those people too? Like, do you maybe have and not know it? It's just the creative mindset.
Yeah, something to think about.
Yeah.
I do find that, yeah, with as I continue to go down the Bitcoin rabbit hole, I am willing to keep an open mind and discover new things about myself. And, you know, one thing I like I mentioned with my show, I didn't think that certain people would watch, or I don't know what I thought. I mm-hmm. just put it out there. But I have been told by many people that they really appreciated that I did it. And people that I wouldn't expect to watch, like the guy I interviewed yesterday, his name's Alpha. And he said, yeah, I watch your show. I'm like, wow. I'm like, cool. You just don't know. You just don't know. And I hope.
He's a great, great account. I've heard him say so much about the spirituality of Bitcoin. And I think he's held some really interesting spaces. And I can't wait to see that conversation with him. If it's posted yet, I'm not sure if it is, but I want to definitely check it out. You do have a really great way of making people feel comfortable and speaking their mind. You made me feel like it was so easy to talk to you. And you're very patient. You are just a great host. So I think because you are that way, you make people feel like, okay, that wasn't scary. Like, that wasn't, you know, like what I thought it was going to be. And you talked to me ahead of time about even what topics, you know, I would like to discuss. So I was like somewhat, because I was like, what am I going to say? You know, I wanted to have, I didn't know what you were going to ask me, you know, but you really make people feel like they can do this. I love watching your show. I love your guests. You find amazing people. So that's a really good gift of yours, is looking out and finding interesting people to talk to and having the courage to do it in the first place and making people feel like they can do it, you know? So we're grateful for you. You're a huge part of the community, and thank you so much.
Thank you for having me. I think you have the same gifts. I think you make people feel very comfortable. And I think you're going to go far. So thank you for having me on.
Thank you, Paula. You are such a shining light on this community. Keep doing what you're doing. Keep finding interesting people and sharing their story. And I love that you joined me for mine too.
Thank you. All roads lead to Bitcoin.
Yes. Take care.